We are indeed better together. We were created for connection. So let's make 2024 the year. 2024. Yeah, don't say that in the 11 o'clock service. Let's make 2026 the year of more, not the year of four, the year of more. More groups, more connections, and more community. Today I have the opportunity and the privilege to introduce our guest speaker. And he's no stranger to us here at Tiffany Fellowship Church. Dallas has spent the last 27 years at Grace Covenant International, where he is currently serving as the ministry director. He was the founder of Grace Calvary Chapel in St. Joseph, Missouri, and altogether has served 43 years in ministry. That's a great credential within itself. He is a pastor to pastors and desires to equip ministers and missionaries to fulfill their kingdom purpose. Please welcome to the stage our friend, Dallas Elder.
Well, good morning, TFC. So good to see you. Happy New Year to you. Those of you who are joining us on the online campus, we're praying over Pastor Barry as he has this time to get away. I saw that his wife was here today. So, Rosemarie, good to see you. And we've been getting positioned, haven't we, into this new year. The Christmas celebration in this house was just absolutely beautiful. Thank you for all of the details, the decorations, the worship, the stories. Just wonderful. What a way to close out the year. Pastor Barry gave the message about conclusion and new beginnings. Pastor Matt last week talked about how that we are soil, but we also need to be sowers. I don't know about you, but I don't make New Year's resolutions, but I like New Year's prompts. And that is, what's my focus for this new year? You know, you hit what you aim at. You become what you focus on. So you can focus on fear, you can focus on faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I'm confident of this. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You can focus on fear, or you can focus on faith. If you haven't found your New Year's prompt, I would invite you to take that one. Focus on faith and not on fear. I hope you have your Bibles this morning. And we're going to look at Genesis 16. The message is the God who sees me. So you can turn to Genesis chapter 16. We'll get there in a moment. Have you ever found yourself at a place in time where life just got complicated? We can have the tendency to look at other people's lives and think they're all hunky-dory. And you might say, that's probably a term from the past. What is hunky-dory, you may ask? Well, it's slang for having it as good as you could wish or expect it. Life is all good, fine, uncomplicated. Life is hunky-dory. So whether we want to admit it or not, we understand that our choices can complicate our lives. We reap what we sow. But what about when life gets complicated and we are just an innocent victim of our circumstances that are beyond control? I mean, it seems so random, it seems so unfair, it seems so undeserved. And so we begin to ask questions. Why God? Why me? Are you there? Do you really care? Do you see my plight? What purpose could this serve? I see no hope for my future. You know, God spoke to Abram and Sarai and promised them that they would have a son. He would become the child of God's covenant. He would be a great nation, and through him, all the nations of the world would be blessed. Abraham, Abram, received this promise when he was 75 years old. Sarai, 65 years old. And so when we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 16, at this point, Abram and Sarah are 10 years down the road, still no child. They ain't getting any younger. And so they're working through the test of faith. Fill in the blank. You're going to find in your life you'll have tests of faith, and one of the tests is fill in the blank. And as often happens regarding the prophetic promises of God, there has been a long wait. And when this is the case, we begin to initiate our own plan to fill in the blank. So we feel the pressure, the obligation of fulfillment. The Lord spoke the promise, but we begin to take it upon ourselves to produce the answer. We lean on our own understanding. We concoct a plan of fulfillment. We see the evidence of this in Genesis chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you stand up with me and we're going to read the first six verses of Genesis 16. Verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to do what Sarah said. So Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years. Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "You are responsible for this wrong I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now she knows that she is pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between me and you, between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. You may be seated. Hagar is a victim of circumstance. Hagar most likely became part of Abram and Sarah's household during their short stay in Egypt. You might recall the story. Upon entering Egypt, Abram concocted this brilliant plan to tell the Pharaoh there that Sarai was his sister. She was so beautiful. He thought that, well, he's going to see that she's beautiful. He's going to take her and he's going to kill me. So he presented Sarai as his sister. Bad idea. Bright idea, Abram. Because Pharaoh understood that Sarai was his sister, he did take her and put her in his harem. And so in protection, the Lord began to bring vile diseases on Pharaoh and his household. Pharaoh then says to Abram, "Why did you do..." I just lost my chapstick. Have you ever preached out of your chapstick? It's rolling, baby. All right. Pharaoh then said to Abram, "Why did you deceive me? Cause me all this trouble. You all just get out of here." So Abram, Sarai, and it appears that that's when Sarai's attendant, Hagar, got sent away with them. In the process, Sarai, Abram, and Hagar left. The king's wives always had their attendants. Hagar personally served Sarai. After 10 years of not conceiving, Sarai was feeling the pressure of the unfulfilled promise. It's a heavy thing. We've been trying to have children for 10 years. Nothing. She says to Abram, "Take my servant Hagar. Perhaps I can build a family through her." And the Lord said, Abram, you and Sarah would have a son. Sarah, what was Sarai saying? I need to help God to fulfill his promise. I need to help God to fulfill his promise. This was her plan of fulfillment. In the culture of the day, it wasn't unusual or an unacceptable practice in childless situations for servants to be used to bring in family. Sarai brought Hagar to Abram. He slept with her, and she conceived. And then Hagar offended Sarai. Hagar was the servant of her mistress, Sarai. Now she's the one who's pregnant with the husband's child. Now she stands in a position that Sarai could not. She seemingly has in her womb the Lord's promise. She begins to flaunt her new status. Now remember, Hagar was a slave. She had never had a status. She was rude to Sarai. Sarai confronted Abraham on his situation. Abram, this is all your fault. You're responsible for my suffering. Abram was wise at this point, says to his wife, she's under your control, do whatever you wish. Sarai treated Hagar so horribly that she fled home. Hagar was a servant in Pharaoh's harem. Then she was assigned to Sarai. To a large degree, she was a victim of other people's choices. Pregnant Hagar fled from Sarai's intentional abuse. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near the spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant. You will give birth to a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. The hand of everyone will be against him, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in hostility toward his brothers. You may not see it, but what a beautiful, redemptive scene. It so eloquently displays the love and mercy of God that he has for every person. Talk about complicated. Hagar moved from her people and her country to a new location with a new family, not by her choice. She became Sarai's servant, not by her choice. She was requested to sleep with her mistress' husband. She became pregnant. Conflict arose with her mistress. Hagar runs away. She has a child in her womb and totally alone in an unknown land. You know, it's hard to imagine all the fear and the anguish that she must have been feeling. You know, it's one thing to be responsible for your life. It's another thing to be responsible for the life of the unborn child in your womb. And there are many of us in this room that have no idea what that would be like. But there are some of you in this room who absolutely do. What a desperate situation Hagar is in. Let me give you some God truths that are represented here. Number one, God knows where you are. The angel of the Lord found Hagar. Here's an interesting assignment. I'd like for you to go through the scripture and note in the Old Testament every time that it talks about the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. It is God who shows up. It's the pre-incarnate Jesus. It's the fourth one in the fire. There was another one in the fire. There were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and one who had the likeness of the Son of God, pre-incarnate Jesus. God shows up. Hagar testifies to the fact that's coming. God shows up. She saw the God who shows up. We have seen the God who shows up. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The angel of the Lord found Hagar. As lost, lonely, isolated as we may be feeling, buried under our incredible, challenging circumstances, the Lord, the Good Shepherd, is always looking for us. We have value. You have value. You have worth. You are desired by God. He makes Himself available to find you, engage you in the depths of your despair. Situations may become so unfair, unjust, dark, and hopeless. But no one, no one is beyond God's search and reach. Second God truth. God knows you and your situation. You know, we can get so buried in our backstory, under our baggage, swallowed up by our circumstances, that we literally live with an identity crisis. As we recount our sordid history, we can conclude that we have no value. Who knows that we even exist? With my life experience as a reference, how could I believe I have purpose in this world? Trace the journey of Hagar's life with the hardships, with the challenges that she has faced. And now she is brought into this complicated, isolated, and seemingly hopeless present situation. She has a child in her womb, nowhere to go, isolated, insignificant, how forgotten one would feel. And the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord called Hagar by name. God knows your name. And He knew her address. You are Sarai's servant. Number three, God will engage you in conversation. It was said of Jesus that He would be called the Wonderful Counselor. Of course, Jesus said, I'm going to leave and I'm going to send you another Counselor, of course, Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever. Have you noted in Scripture the number of times, here's another study for you, that God calls people by their name? Remember Elijah, he challenged the prophets of Baal and just defeated them. God came, the one who answers with fire. He is the Lord God. All of those prophets were defeated. And then just this king and this queen put a statement out that he needs to be hunted down. And all of a sudden, he's afraid and he runs. He runs and he runs and he's worn out. He wants to die. He's there by a brook. And the Lord comes to Elijah. Elijah, what are you doing here? Hagar, where have you come from? Where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress. Questions are a counseling tool. You want people to reflect on how they got to where they are. What are the reasons for the choices that you've made? Those questions that the Lord asks always require some introspection and evaluation. How about you? Where have you come from? Where are you going? These are great questions. They cause us to step back for a moment and push pause to reflect rather than just react to what's happening in our lives. We push pause on the flight or fight mechanism. Consider what we're doing and listen to what the Lord has to say. He's a wonderful counselor. Fourth God truth, God will guide you into your promise. I think it's unfortunate that this account of Hagar hasn't gotten more press. You know, it seems that Abraham and Sarah are the main feature. They certainly have their value. And Hagar is viewed as just this insignificant, unimportant sidebar. No. Is there any person in God's creation who's an insignificant sidebar? No, it wasn't just Abram and Sarai who got a promise from the Lord. God equally had a promise for this seemingly insignificant servant girl who randomly got enfolded into this dysfunctional family and became a victim of circumstances beyond her control. Hagar wasn't a subplot, an outtake, or a footnote. She's not hidden in the shadows of this huge historical spotlight that only features Abram and Sarai. No. She has her own purposeful place and promise in God's plan. And you do too. You do too. God's counsel to Hagar: go back and submit to your mistress. Obey my counsel. Obedience positions us for the promises of God. Obedience positions us for God's promises. Here is your promise, speaking to Hagar, the Lord speaking to Hagar. Here is your promise. I will increase your descendants. They will be too many for them to count. In other words, here is my portion for you. Here is my portion of my favor for you. You're now pregnant. You're going to give birth to a son. You shall call his name Ishmael. God hears. You shall call his name Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. 14 years into the future, God will give Abraham and Sarah their son. He will give them their name. His name will be Isaac, which means God laughs. When they heard the promise that they would have a child, they laughed. Abram and Sarah laughed, and God chuckles at our lack of faith and our attempts to try to fill in the blank. And then, of course, when she came, Sarah said this: the Lord has given me laughter in my old age. Isaac, he laughs. Now note that God gave Hagar the name for her son. His name will be Ishmael. God hears. He has heard your cries in your misery. He's not distant. He's not deaf to your life situations and the cries of your heart. God knows. He's mindful of our misery. The Lord described the type of man prophetically that Ishmael would be. Now, Genesis Verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13, the story goes on. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, Hagar gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well that was there was called Beer Lahai Royi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son. Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son that she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. This is an incredible declaration that Hagar makes. Beer Lahai Royi, this is the well of the one who sees me. You are the God who sees me. When I was carried away by my desperate circumstances that were not of my own making, when I was rejected and cast away, when I was afraid and I feared for my life and that of my unborn child, I had no provision, no hope of survival, you still saw me. And you heard my cries. You came to me. You called me by name. You counseled me. You personally revealed your presence to me. In my darkest hour, you saw me in my great need, and I have undeniably seen you. In my mind, this is one of the great declarations, all of Scripture, spoken by a slave girl, totally reveals the tender mercy of God. I've seen the one who sees me. You know, at that place of this God encounter, there was a life-giving spring, a well. Yeah, it now bears the name of that encounter that Hagar had with God. She named the place the well of the living water, the well of the living one who sees me. Scripture says, still bears that name, Beer Lahai Royi. In obedience, Hagar returned to Sarai and submitted to her. She bore Abram a son. And he named him Ishmael. God hears. Six God truth. God has a promise and a plan and purpose for you. Fast forward to Genesis 21. I want to complete this story here. In Genesis chapter 21, Ishmael is about 16, 17 years old. Isaac has been born. He is now born. He's weaned. He's about 2 to 3 years old. Abram is holding a celebration of this son, like a dedication, if you will. Ishmael, teenage Ishmael, mocks Isaac and the whole celebration. So Hagar and Ishmael once again are sent on their way. The Lord said to distressed Abraham, I will make the son of Hagar into a great nation because he is your offspring. Once again, Hagar, Ishmael, sent away. They wander alone in the desert until all their water's gone. Hagar put her son under a bush in the shade and said, I can't stand to watch him die. This is it. Genesis 21, 17 and 19. God heard the boy crying. God heard the boy crying. The angel of the Lord called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up. Take him by the hand, I will make him a great nation. Then the Lord opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Mom and son had been in a place like this before when he was in her womb. Once again, 17 years down the road, all alone, desperate in the wilderness, verses 20 and 21, God was with the boy, and he grew up, and he lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got him a wife. I want to underscore some parallels here. Similar circumstances, different places, God reinforces the promises. God heard the boy crying. Ishmael, God hears. The angel of the Lord called to Hagar, I see you, I hear you. He begins with a question, where are you, Hagar? Or, excuse me, what's the matter, Hagar? Gives his assurance, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Affirmation of the promise, I will make him a great nation. There is a future, there is a promise, there is a plan, there is a purpose. And then there was the well of provision. You know, we get consumed with our anxieties and buried under our burdens, and we can't see the provisions of God that He already has in place for us. We're just buried under the circumstances, but He opened her eyes. She saw the well. Hagar wasn't a sidebar, a footnote, nor was her son. Hagar was a woman who found God to be faithful in the midst of her misery. Even though she was the victim of circumstances and choices that were not her own, she was a woman who had an incredible historical encounter with God. In her most vulnerable life moments, she received God's protection and provision. She was a woman of faith. She embraced His promise and His presence in her life. And Hagar makes one of the great declarations, in all of Scripture. You are the God who sees me. I have seen the one who sees me. I read a great book in this last year. It's entitled The Divine Dance, The Trinity in Your Transformation. And so this quote keeps bouncing around in my head. Here it is. God is not once upon a time. God is the never-ending story in which we are scripted. Abraham, Sarai had a part in the script, but so did Hagar. She had a promise. She had a purpose. And there were times it didn't seem like it. She just seemed insignificant. God met her. God heard her. God saw her. He lifted her up from beneath those circumstances. And that purpose, that plan, began to unfold in her life and that of her son. I'd like to invite our worship team to come. In the midst of our circumstances, our challenges, our crises, we need the strong reminder that God hears us and He sees us. We need the assurance and affirmation that He is faithful. Remember these truths about Him. God hears you. God sees you. He will sustain you. He will speak His promise, His plan, and His purpose for you. I'd like to invite you to stand. And I'd like to have our prayer partners come. I want to give you this invitation for prayer today. If you have felt that you've been buried under your circumstances, in fact, it's kind of seemed like that for a lot of your life. There were all those things that had taken place in the past, and you kind of still carry those. In fact, the accuser wants to remind you of all of those. You know, God not only can redeem us from our poor choices, and we all had our share, but He can also redeem us from choices that others made about us that weren't our own doing, but we received all the repercussions. We've had to fight the battle. We were cast away. We were rejected. We were carried down a path of life that wasn't our choosing. It was chosen for us by others. That's a helpless feeling. That can be a defeated feeling. That could cause all kinds of even crisis in faith. And here's what I want to remind you about today. God has heard your cries in your misery. God sees you. He knows your name. And He has a promise for you. Don't allow those circumstances to steal away the promise, the plan, and the purpose that He has for you. I invite you to come receive some prayer today. God's going to hear your prayer. He sees you where you've been and where you are. You're not a sideline. You're not an outtake. You're not a footnote. You're scripted into the never-ending story. Why don't you come and embrace your part? Father, I just want to praise You. Thank You for this wonderful faith story of Hagar and the incredible worth and value that You impart to this servant girl. And she received her portion. She had this incredible God encounter, knowing that You heard her cries, that You saw her in her circumstances. And she gave this incredible faith declaration, I have seen the One who sees me. Lord, we need You to show up in our lives. We want to call upon You and give You opportunity to come and meet us in our need today. In Jesus' name, amen. While we worship, you'd like to have some prayer. Our prayer partners are here.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing His kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's Word.